from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Whether you're a duck or whether you're a beaver, your fantasy team needs a new receiver. It's Danny and Dusty at lunchtime every day. Maybe you're a tortured fan of Rip City. Danny and Dusty are here to take pity, hoping there's not a center with bad knees on the way. Talking noon till 3, Danny and Dusty on the fan. Yep, I'm singing again, cause they haven't said I can't. Danny and Dusty love the teams the rest of us revile. Raising a Blazers banner would make it all worthwhile. Noon till 3,
an Odyssey station.
Three here on Danny and Dusty on a wonderful Wednesday afternoon, a wrestling Wednesday, as it were, whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan, or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. And thanks for riding with us.
Yeah, let's go, baby.
Jonathan Givney, heard of him?
Yes.
The draft guru for ESPN conducted an anonymous executive poll debating multiple topics after the NBA Summer League.
I love these. GMs just get to talk ass.
I do too. Everybody's like, well, only cowards do stuff anonymously. It's like, no, you get to speak freely in a world that you exist in.
I think in these cases, these are the fun and cheeky ones where you can actually get honest opinions on guys that you would not get normally, because guys want to make sure they're not crushing other people.
I will say, I have been around when other people are conducting anonymous polls, and I just kind of stand there and listen to some answers.
You get the truth.
You get the truth.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I like to hear. And it's like, oh.
Now, hello. Anonymous sourcing during some hit piece type article.
Yeah, that's a little BS. Yeah, that's the stuff that's like, eh.
Yeah.
The first question, who's going to have a better career? And before going to the results, He asked about Zachary Zacher and Alex Saar, the number one and number two overall pick. Who do you think is going to have a better career? Zachary Zacher or Alex Saar?
Rizichet, just because there is more stability in the front office to put people around him. I mean, you rolled your eyes at it because of Atlanta. But have you seen Washington?
I mean, Washington is brand new, and I think that's where I'm kind of like, you're right in a sense, like we know what it is in Atlanta, and we know it's not good, but it could be really bad in Washington, or it could be fine. We just don't know because it's a brand new front office.
But at least that doesn't have Atlanta has gone to the playoffs recently.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're not wrong. I get what you're saying there. Sarr was number one on my board, so I'm going to go with Sarr. I'm going to go with Sarr. And I don't care about the 0-15 performance because
that was brutal.
It was. And
Summer League was not kind to Alex.
No, and one of the lines in here, they were asking Sarr to do too much in Vegas, and they gave him the freedom he shouldn't have, but I'm bullish on his outlook long-term overall, and he's got phenomenal physical tools and NBA all-defensive team ability, which is – that was where I was going with my evaluation with him is that, look, whatever you get offensively, he's such a fluid athlete, he's such a fluid mover that – I'm okay with him figuring that stuff out because defensively he's so good.
Yeah, well, Reza Shea is not on the block and inside as much as Sarr is, but really good defender and a shooter. Yeah. And a shooter, too.
Yeah, and that's what I think bore out here is I think you got some recency bias with how poor Sarr was offensively because they went 15-5 in favor of Reza Shea.
I love that we've seen them in, what, 4 Summer League games, and it's like, which one's going to have a better career in the NBA right now?
But I mean, that's the projection you're making on draft night.
It sure is.
It really is. And then that's the next question here. Which rookie will prove to be the draft's best pick? Number one overall, Reed Sheppard.
Because of what you're asking him to do, his skill set, and you're not putting the burden of a franchise on him like Sarr or Reza Shea, that does set up a lot better for him because he's never going to have to be the guy for the Houston Rockets.
We talked about Reed and how the Blazers don't need another guard, and we asked about comps, and I remember I brought up Mark Price for Reed Sheppard, not just because he's white. But because he's not Steve Nash. He's not a guy who's on the ball creating, but he's still a violently good offensive weapon. His pull-up jumper is elite. And it was interesting, when I was down in Las Vegas, I asked around to different scouts and evaluators and executives what they thought of Reed and who he comped to. And the thing about those guys is most of them, guess what? They're older. They remember Mark Price. And I brought up Mark Price probably a half dozen times when they asked me, and they all kind of like, I see that. He goes, that's probably a stretch, too far, because Price is probably underrated by most people, but I could see that being the path that he could end up taking. And if he is, what a pick by the Rockets. But on this list, number two, Donovan Clingan.
I like that. He's going to be a defender very similar to Reed Sheppard. He is not going to be asked to bear the burden of a franchise either, Like, the Blazers right now, you have Scoot Henderson, who was the third overall pick. Mm-hmm. You have Shaedon Sharpe there, who you're leaning on to pop and to have a bright future.
It's 737 drafts.
And then you have, whether it's Ant, who is that guy right now, who is leading the team, it is not going to be placed on Clingan's shoulders because we all know the Blazers aren't in the game of winning this year. Yeah. They're hoping to get that guy that they can put the burden of the franchise on and say, carry us.
Yes.
And it won't be Donovan Clingan. And I think that does prove to be a great pick in a draft when you get a guy at 7 who has had, in some evaluators' mind, was the number one overall guy, and you're saying, do what you do best, just like Reed Sheppard. You shoot, just do that.
You have the things Donovan Clingan, the floor, it is, use them.
You just get around that rim, and you protect the rim at all costs. That's what we want you to do.
Yep. I thought Clingan was a steal on draft night at 7, but the things he did defensively and summerly were unreal with the impact his made, one voter offered. Now they have him shooting trail pick and pop threes. If he starts making those consistently, it's a game changer with the way that he could pass and protect the rim.
Hell yeah.
All right. Now
that's good.
Yeah, now the negative side of this, which I always love to hear because it's like, everybody always wants to gas everything up. On draft night, I guffawed at this pick. Which pick was the draft's biggest reach? Number one, Ron Holland.
Yikes.
Did not look good at Summer League. Had some flashes of stuff, but Ron Holland going number 5 to the Detroit Pistons was okay. And here's a line that this is where you start getting into some of this stuff. I feel bad for Cade Cunningham. They've been rebuilding for years, even though they never planned on it, and this pick signals they might need to blow up the roster and start over again. I just don't see how Holland can play with Asar Thompson and Jaden Ivey and all the other young guys. That situation is a mess. Even when Holland was scoring in Vegas, it was so ugly to watch.
That is so brutal.
I will tell you, I know of two general managers that I talked to in Vegas that they said, in our draft room, we celebrated when Ron Holland was taken fifth because we knew that at least one guy was going to fall to us because we didn't have Ron anywhere near that.
All right. Well, that's good. That's good. That's good for that team, whoever that team is. The one that tied with Ron Holland, though, was the Bucks pick of A.J. Johnson, which is – it's at 23.
Which is such a weird thing. It's like – and I think this because he only played like 3.2 minutes a night for Illawarra and the NBL.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like an unknown. But I think the Bucks kind of have to take a pick on athleticism and figuring stuff out and transitioning to having something else there because that – Chris Middleton just had two ankle surgeries.
Yeah, there was a reach that they took in the first round one time that worked out well for him.
Yeah, that Greek kid.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Yeah. The athletic guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the thing with A.J. Johnson. There was some talk about him having a growth spurt.
Oh.
So.
All right. You know. He's only 6'4", though.
Yeah. Tijon Salah was third or tight or second here in that he had three votes. Dillingham, Zach Edey, Alex Saar, Reza Shade, and then Pacom Dadiye, which, again, I thought Dadiye going to the Knicks at the end of the first round was entirely fine.
I don't know what a Pacom Dadiye is.
Big French guard.
It sounds like a pastry.
Yeah, right.
I would love a Pacom Dadiye.
Yeah. Actually,
sounds good, huh?
Right?
Yeah.
You know, you go to the French bakery and you come out with, a baguette and a Pacom Dadiye.
That's right.
His team will actually be here in Portland, Ratio Farm Ulm. Who he played for last year. That is
Bundesliga basketball.
Yeah, from the BBL.
Yeah.
It's like saying BBL. Which rookie will turn out to be the biggest draft steal? Bub Carrington.
I like that. Yeah, Bub Carrington, Wizards.
The pick that the Blazers traded for Denny Avdija.
All right.
So
I mean, that's...
He looked solid at Summer League, for sure.
If you want to know, like, why... This guy is considered steal of the draft, Bub Carrington.
Mm-hmm.
When Denny Avdija was drafted a few years ago, Mike Schmitz, who is in the Blazers front office, mm-hmm. said, Denny Avdija, steal of the draft.
Yes.
So it's kind of you traded one steal of the draft for the guy who's a little bit further along in his development as a steal in the draft.
There you go. Kalel Ware, who, God, it's frustrating that the Heat have done this twice in a row.
Former Duck.
How
much do you think of that is just because he got drafted by Miami, though?
Well, I mean, he's been put into a situation, and again, that Miami team that was sent down there with Jaime Jaquez made more sense. They played in the California Classic, and they were ready mm-hmm. to go and all those things. But I do believe that Ware, and this is what we said leading up to the draft, is I had heard that Ware was getting himself squared away, addressing the rumors and shortcomings that coming out of Oregon, playing for Mike Woodson at Indiana, all that stuff kind of...
Growth and development.
Cleared itself up. I love that Dalton Connect is on here with one vote, and that's because Laker excellence.
Do you think Rob Pelinka is the one who voted for Dalton Connect?
Twice, yes. But in two different polls. the best value and the biggest steal. Your NBA Rookie of the Year pick. Number one, Reed Sheppard. Which I'm hesitant to go with, not because of the talent. I just don't know exactly how much he's going to play. Ime Udoka does not like to play kids, and they are wanting to get better. Fred VanVleet is not a guy that plays 26 minutes a night. So are you going to play Fred and Reed at the same time? Go 5'11 and 6 foot?
I don't think that's going to be beneficial in the National Basketball Association.
Don't be wrong. They both compete, and they're really good at generating steals and blocks as guards, which is insane. Like, Reed has one of the highest block rates as a guard coming out of college basketball in quite some time.
We'll see how that changes in the NBA.
Well, you got to remember, those shots when you go up and they get a strip, those are charted as blocks, not steals. I still don't know why. I have a beef against that. Zach Edey comes in at number two, and I think he actually might be the safest Rookie of the Year pick.
He's going to ride the wave of
Memphis
having an incredible
good.
First summer league game, and then having John Morant
to
play alongside.
And Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson.
Yeah.
And he's just going to go out there and be big. Steph Castle at number three with the Spurs. And at number
four, alongside Wemby.
That's going to juice your odds. And number four, Donovan Clingan.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't think he's going to play the minutes. For everybody who asked me last year, should I bet on Scoot Henderson to win Rookie of the Year? And I told you, no, absolutely not. Do not waste your money. Victor Wembanyama is going to win it hands down. Don't touch it. I'm telling you now, don't waste your money on Donovan Clingan.
Donovan Clingan is a backup center right now.
Just don't. It's like, I know you want to because it's your guy. Look, I'm not going to tell you what to do with your money, but I'm telling you, don't.
When is the last time a guy won the NBA's Rookie of the Year and did not start? See, and that's where that's what Portland's going to do. Is DeAndre Ayton is going to take – will Donovan Clingan get spot starts? Sure. Yeah, every now and then. Rest days, maybe they shut Ayton down at the end of the year. But the guys that win the Rookie of the Year, the guys that play a majority of the games and start a majority of their games.
My brain is kind of broken right now. I'm trying to scramble and think of, like, was there a guy that didn't start, got a bunch of minutes? And I don't – it's not coming to mind.
Yeah. All right. That's a fun list.
Yeah, you definitely caused my brain to short circuit there.
Well,
I can't.
You're welcome.
Well, you know.
Didn't think it was that hard. Turns out it wasn't.
All right. Wow, rude. Come up next. Michigan in trouble? Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
I feel like it's become a little bit cyclical as a college football program wins a national title, and then they're expected to hear about a file of allegations coming against them rather shortly.
Yeah. Michigan right now is – and these are weird reports that are coming out. I saw that the first initial report was not even from a Michigan, like, fan site or anybody that covers the team. It was from – was it Auburn, maybe? Somebody at Auburn said something about it?
I mean, like, they're familiar with it.
What the hell's going on here? But Michigan, obviously, the Connor Stallions and their spying operation that became a whole deal last year, they're waiting to hear back from the NCAA on how this whole thing's going to work out. And the notice of allegations are the first one that the NCAA's infractions committee is done with their investigation, what they are alleging that you do, and what they believe the punishment should be. Now, the early reports indicate that this thing could come out anytime this week, but the sticking point here is the infractions committee wants to give them a 1 to 2 year postseason ban, according to the reports that are out there. And Michigan is saying, no, let's make this thing solely monetary, because Connor Stallions is no longer with the program. The head coach is no longer with the program. We handled it in a quick manner once we found out about it, which who knows how long they actually knew about it. But we all know that the things that were uncovered during the season last year, as Michigan was trouncing their way to the national championship, which, by the way, they're not expected to vacate any wins either in this, because they're having a really hard time proving what they did it actually
matter?
Well, did it change the outcome of any games, right? Like, if you pay a player back in the day, that changed the outcomes of the games because you were paying him to play for you. Reggie Bush, USC, right? Best player on the field was getting money to be there. Yeah, we can say, all right, what happened, what you guys did, translated to you guys winning football games or basketball games. But when you look at what Michigan did, they're like, well, first of all, did they break a rule? Stealing signs in... guy who is saying, did the university break a rule? Connor Stallions broke a rule by videotaping hand signals and buying tickets and having like a network of people that would go to stadiums for him and do it. But
and money that was funneled to him like a, you know, offshore bank account.
Yeah, with the way that it's all set up, did the university? Well, I don't know. He was employed by him. Seems like they did.
And for a guy who made $60,000 a year, it's kind of crazy that he was able to have a network of people working for him.
Well, let's also take into consideration here, the NCAA has no teeth anymore.
Yeah, and everybody knows that they have no teeth, and so everybody can kind of tell them to put it where the sun don't shine.
So Michigan is now countering the report that's out there saying, oh, we're just expecting fines here. Like, that's all it's going to be. We're not going to get a postseason ban. A postseason ban, a 1 to 2 year postseason ban at a school like Michigan, you want to see guys enter the transfer portal in a hurry? Have a 2 year postseason ban where these guys are going to Michigan because they think they're all going to go to the league. They're going to play there for 3 years and then be out. If you can't go to the 12 team playoff for two of your 3 years that you're on campus, they're going to start waving their hand. All right, bye. We're out. So they're going to fight that really, really hard. And like, there's also Michigan is floating stuff out there that they don't even believe that any of this will be a level one infraction, which is the heaviest that the NCAA levies against universities. So this is all fizzling out pretty quickly because Michigan did the right thing, which was they suspended Jim Harbaugh for games that they knew that they could win. And then they tried to get as far away as they could from Connor Stallions, blame it all on him, and then they just shut up. And they didn't say anything. And that's the biggest thing, all the schools that get hammered by the NCAA, they fight back. Don't fight back. And just shut up, well, and the NCAA
worked,
goes away.
It worked for North Carolina.
Hell yeah,
dude. Na-na-na-na-na.
Miami?
Yeah, and that's the thing is, I wonder if Michigan basically says, you're toothless, we don't care, you're not going to exist in a year anyways, so there will be no postseason ban, and we really don't care about a fine. We talked about this a couple months ago, where I said, I wonder if there's going to be a school that eventually just says, go away. And who has the kind of the power to do it? And I wonder if Michigan's like, no.
Saying go away is the one thing that the NCAA will hammer you for. That's what USC did. That's why USC was defiant. If you're defiant and you kind of spit in their face about it,
I think they don't have the capacity to do anything.
That's when they will hammer you. But the thing they can do is a postseason ban and say, yeah, well, fine.
I think that they can try in a sense. I think the lawyers will get involved and go, yeah, you actually don't have the authority to do that.
And even if there are allegations that are the notice of allegations come this week, in the next couple of days, this whole thing won't be sorted out for another 4 to 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, then you have lawyers. They'll just drag it out as long as they can.
And then by then, let's say this goes 18 to 24 months, the NCAA might cease to exist as a governing body in college football. And that's what I mean. Like,
going to go home.
Michigan just says, we don't care.
Yeah. That's one way to do it, but you can't tell them that because that's when they actually do something, because their feelings get all hurt.
Which is kind of what I want to see.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think their feelings are very hurt when Charlie Baker says, oh, the most important universities in football? Yeah, you guys, I think it's best if you go a separate way.
Yeah.
Also, Central Michigan fired their quarterbacks coach, who used to work for Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. And do you remember Connor Stallions? was on the Central Michigan sideline for their week one game with his Ray-Bans that had the cameras on him.
Interesting.
Maybe Central Michigan's like, yeah. But
found who gave him the pass.
We know where he got the pass and all of the Central Michigan gear from Pally. I can't wait for the Netflix doc to come out on Connor Stallions.
That's going to be great.
And
is he participating?
Uh-huh.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to make that money. That vacuum money is going to be coming in big for him.
Right? Make sure the phone number gets plastered on there.
Vacuum repair. Let's go. It's lucrative, apparently. You can have a syndicate of spies for you if you have vacuum repair service.
I like it. I mean, that's a great... When you're talking about a way to launder money, vacuum repair guy was not high on my list, but the more I thought about it, have you ever seen the price for those parts?
No, I have. I can't say that I have.
Oh, man. I mean, if a vacuum breaks, just buy a new freaking vacuum.
I have done that before.
Because the parts... Whew.
Not worth it.
Not worth it.
Not worth it.
All right, coming up next, the 40-40 Club. Rare and also maybe a death sentence? But here's Big Will Betts of the Sports Center Update.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
Shohei Ohtani has reached the point where his... already short tenure in Major League Baseball has been so over the top and so littered with expletive-laden success that we kind of gloss over the fact that what he's doing is still not normal.
It is freaky what Shohei Ohtani has done in his career. You think of just the stat busting that he did as a pitcher and a fielder and hitter. But then you switch it over, and now he's not pitching this year. And you're looking at, quite honestly, one of the most dominant seasons that we've seen in baseball.
Yes.
Because we are not even to August yet, and Shohei Ohtani has 32 home runs and 28 stolen bases. The only other player to do that is Alex Rodriguez in 1998 when he went 32 home runs and 30 stolen bases. So Ohtani's only... two stolen bases behind that clip that A-Rod had. And here we are. And Alex Rodriguez that year finished 42 and 46.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise known as the 40-40 club.
We could see the first time ever back-to-back seasons with a 40-40 member. We've never seen consecutive years where a guy has been in the 40-40 club.
And here's the disgusting truth of the 40-40 club. There isn't a 40-40 club member in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
No, Jose Canseco, Barry Bonds, Alex Rodriguez, and Alfonso Soriano. Those are your 40-40 club guys. And then you have Ronald Acuna Jr., who 41 and 73 stolen bases last year. He was, I mean, not eligible for the Hall of Fame yet. But injuries. I don't know if Ronald Acuna Jr. will make the Hall of Fame because he got, I mean, the season-ending injury early this year, and that was heartbreaking, man. The guy sits there and says, you know, I apologize to the fans for getting hurt.
It's
damn. Well, that's gut-wrenching.
What is he, 24?
But Acuna is on that trajectory to where he keeps playing the way he is. I mean, my God. We could see Ronald Acuna Jr. as a Hall of Famer eventually. But Ohtani is way on that path.
Yes.
And if the gambling thing ever gets connected back to him, which it doesn't sound like it is at all in any way, shape, or form, then that may hold him out. But what a list, though. Like, think of the guys and how hard it is to hit 40 home runs and steal 40 bases. The three guys that have done it three of the four in Canseco, Bonds, and A-Rod, all of them tied to PEDs.
Which,
every single one of them.
God, I'm so sick and tired of this. Just put them in the freaking
Hall.
They
should be. They should be in the Hall of Fame.
Barry Bonds' non-PED-length seasons is still one of the five best baseball players of all time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't...
When his head was small and so was his biceps, still...
still an insanely good baseball player. One of the best to ever play the game.
Really damn good. Ohtani may be that guy, though, that is the first Hall of Famer... that is in the 40-40 club.
That can't tie PEDs to?
Yeah. Well, no. I'm not even that. I think that even if Acuna keeps his trajectory going...
Yeah, Ohtani will be there sooner.
He's younger. Acuna's younger.
Yeah.
And Ohtani will be a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer if he keeps this up.
Is Ohtani a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer right now?
Knowing baseball writers,
probably
no.
Not.
But by how we look at them, yes. But like by the body of work that you kind of put together, I mean, he doesn't have playoff wins, but how do you not tell the story of baseball in the 21st century without Shohei Ohtani, who comes in and is a dominant arm and a wildly successful hitter and fielder? Like, you talk about all the tools of a baseball player. Yeah, he shows all of them. And by that metric, yeah, he should be in, even though you can have these – the guys whose, you know, star shines really bright but goes fast, right? Even if he has that, yeah, Ohtani is a Hall of Famer. What is this, his sixth or seventh year in the league?
This is his seventh year in the league. And this is where it's disgusting.
He's on the cusp there.
He's got 203 home runs
already.
He's got
200 home runs already.
800 hits.
500 RBI.
114 stolen bases.
Yep.
What's interesting is he's only a 280 hitter. I guess it's really only been the last 2 years that he's hit over 300.
He has
two look
MVPs.
At how many guys are hitting 300 in baseball,
it's true.
Period.
It's true. That's how skewed it is.
I mean, the way that baseball has shifted average does not mean the same as it once did, right?
Yeah.
If you look right now in baseball, there's only 12 guys hitting over 300 in baseball. If you want to go back, let's go back to ESPN keeps stats to the 2002 regular season. If we go back to the 2002 regular season, there were
35.
Exactly 35.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Ding.
There were exactly 35 players who hit over 300.
I basically was thinking three times as much. That's
and
all I was going for.
You're at 12 right now.
Yeah.
Pitching has changed. Hitting has become so much harder, and then what teams are asking hitters to do has changed dramatically. It's not hit for average anymore.
Not swing angle. And
it's extra bases. It's looking, hunting for walks. Get on base and hit long ball.
How many – this is a kind of a theory question. How many Tony Gwynns do you think they've snuffed out by changing swings and changing mentalities? I mean, Tony Gwynn is a rarity, but I mean, like, how many, like, legitimately good, average hitters do you think have changed what they could be because they've
gone
for something else?
How about we change this, right? How many guys, like,
What's like a 305 hitter in that
lifetime, like a Chipper Jones type?
Yeah.
A Chipper Jones where he also hit a
ton of bombs, but
I don't think you were going to change Chipper. But his average, like Chipper, would be a different hitter now.
He'd be like a 260 guy, I think, who hit 50 nukes a year.
Yeah, and he'd have like well over 500 home runs in his career,
as opposed to being like. I think the other one is, and probably people don't think about this, is Pujols. If he had been 10 years later, because he was 10 straight years of 300, 300, 100.
God, I'm trying to let's see if there's
Stephen Kwan is kind of a throwback. He hits for a really high average.
Yeah,
he is. I mean, those guys, they still have value, right? At the top end of your order, you need somebody to get on base in order to clean them up. But even guys like what would Jose Altuve be if he was back in the day? Because he swings out of his he's a teeny tiny little man
who puts everything he can into it.
Who
swings
out of his shoes and rips dingers.
Wearing 20 years ago, he would have been batting first and hitting 315.
The guy that I think his career would have changed so much had he come up and played his entire career in Major League Baseball is Ichiro. Because Ichiro have hit for power.
Yes.
Like if he want every single one of his teammates says, if Ichiro wanted to, he could hit home runs.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't because he took what pitchers gave him. And if the mentality of what a baseball player is, and like obviously Japanese baseball is so much different because it is so much more regimented, but Ichiro only had 117 home runs in his career.
And as a reminder, he hit over 350 one, two, three, four times.
And was a
over 350.
Was a 311 hitter lifetime.
10 straight years of 200 hits.
Yeah. I wonder if they would have, like, if Ichiro came over to the States you know, when he comes over and was it 01? Mm-hmm. And you sit there and you go,
at 27,
this is what baseball is in America, and this is how you have to play it, which is like, look, all these guys are coming up with launch angle, exit velo. Those are the things that are important in the metrics that people are gauging you on. Would that have skewed Ichiro a little bit to be less of a contact hitter and more for power? That is a wild thing to think about.
Here's something.
I don't think he would have ever changed just because of who he was.
Yeah.
As the way he was wired, mm-hmm. and the way he was brought up. But at the same time, is that going to change moving forward with these guys?
Mm-hmm. And that's what I think. His 04 season, where he hit 372, 262 hits, he still struck out 63 times.
Bum.
Which is it's nothing.
Bum. Like, that guy's, he but sucks.
You
what
start,
is he doing?
You think about that. Even, like,
why even
he's,
play?
He's still running around T-Mobile.
Oh, I know. He's awesome.
I spotted him.
I love Ichiro so
much. Did you?
Much.
Spotted him. Yeah.
All right. You said he had how many strikeouts?
63.
Okay.
Which is less than a 10% strikeout rate because he had 762 at-bats.
That was in a full season, right?
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go through this. Currently, in Major League Baseball, at what, 108 games is what teams have played right now?
Okay.
There are 183 players in Major League Baseball that have already struck out 63 times.
Crazy. Crazy.
63 is
nothing.
Nothing. Nothing.
I think that's probably the guy. It's probably Ichiro.
If you go the leaders, and we talked about these guys, Ellie De La Cruz and Nolan Gorman of your Cardinals,
mm-hmm.
each have struck out 140 times this year.
Or double.
100
Ichiro.
And well more
he
than
never struck. His highest strikeout season was 86 in 2010 when he hit 315.
86. That was for a full season. That would mm-hmm. That would have him at 82nd this year in strikeouts through 108 games.
And that's less than 20 years ago.
I loved watching him. I loved watching his approach. I loved watching him at the plate. He and Tony Gwynn were guys that, like, if you want to watch a tactician at the plate, those two guys were special. If you wanted to have a great time watching somebody hit, watch Vladimir Guerrero.
Oh, God, yes.
There was zero strike zone for Vlad.
Bounce it off the ground and still have it hit
over
the fence.
Over his head, off the ground, Vlad was a king.
The axe chop, you know, bead through the...
There was
no middle of the infield.
There was no bad pitch.
No, loved it.
He would just swing out of his shoes.
And
I
feel like with baseball now, because we try to do these certain things with people's swings, we rob us of swings like that.
Yeah. I mean, guys like Vlad and where he grew up yeah. and just like he wasn't paying a hitting coach $500 a session to fix his swing. No, his whole goal was swing my way off the island mm-hmm. and he did it, damn it.
Fantastic. All right, coming up next, we'll put a nice little bow on today's show with the, the NFL says we give in. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Hey, remember that whole Hawkeye tracking service thing that we talked about, 2 months ago?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a thing. You know, the thing they're going to use to track the ball, but it actually wasn't Hawkeye.
Yeah, the NFL said it's definitely not
it's
Hawkeye.
A different system.
We're not going to use what tennis and soccer use, I promise.
Because
we're
the
not
NBA had an issue
it.
With it. And then, now they're going to use Hawkeye.
Oh, they're definitely using Hawkeye now. All right, so this is going to be for spotting the ball?
Yeah, it's the old line to gain, which... We are in the year 2024, and this is the first time that we're actually going to use the non-eyeball method.
Yeah, I always love the coaches that'll go out there and be like, it's a game of inches. It's like, yeah, with a 70-year-old man eyeballing it from the sideline saying, yeah, it's good enough.
Yeah,
looks all right. And every inch matters.
No consistency to how they use the chain and where they mark it and how that all works.
Yeah, so they're going to use that. Hey, can I get an airing of grievances really quick?
Yeah, go.
Have you seen what all these conferences are doing now? The ACC just tweeted out, Olympic record, Ledecky bringing home the gold. Katie Ledecky never swam in the ACC. The Big 12 is taking credit for their Arizona State swimmers and divers. You have they're taking Marchand. They put out a tweet saying,
I like it.
Leon Marchand, Big 12 legend.
Mm.
No, Big Ten is taking credit for Oregon, Washington, USC, and UCLA athletes.
I'll tell you right now, the ACC is out here taking credit for Marshawn Lynch.
That's right. ACC legendary running back. Is that what they're going to do when they roll out, like, the best ever? Like, the all-time ACC team? Are we going to see
Aaron Rodgers and Marshawn Lynch come out there? All ACC, all-time team.
R.I.P. Pac-12.
Ugh.
All right, that'll do it for us today. Tomorrow we'll be at PDXYZ.
Live on location.
It's going to be awesome, letting us out the cage. We'll have a bunch of interviews with movers and shakers of the sports industry. But coming up next, it's 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time with Isaac and Suk right here on The Fan.
Bye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.